right. Well, it's the end of a year and the end of a pastored microphone as well, so the battery has just died. So we're going to I'm going to talk a little bit to let Ryan get this one figured out. It sounds like we're okay, though. So with that said, Merry Christmas. It's wonderful to be here with you all. Christ has been born among us again, an opportunity and hope abound anew, which is an incredible promise. This is affectionately known in the ministry world as Let the Youth Pastor Preach Sunday. So the joke's on them here. Who knew, right? But but honestly, this is the first one of these Sundays I've been able to be here with you all. Typically, Sherry and I are gone at this point, so this is the first Sunday after Christmas we've had the opportunity to share together, to take communion as a unified body, and I'm excited to be a part of that this morning. But I know we've technically finished our Advent series. Christmas has come and that sort of thing, but I want to carry our theme on this. Oh, and look at that. We've already moved on. That's all right. I tricked you, Hyla. This is so in the spirit of the God of new beginnings, we're going to talk a little bit in that vein today. Because what is Advent but a time to watch the same holiday classics that you've watched year after year after year, or to listen to those same songs that you know and you love, or to pull out that gaudy jewelry and those ugly sweaters year and year again, right? There's only a few more days for those to be appropriate, folks, so Get your fill. I sadly put my socks away yesterday, but that's all right. So, or it's also the time to hear some of our favorite stories of faith. The story of Mary, the story of John the Baptist, the story of the birth of Jesus, stories we know and we love. So why not add to that collection perhaps one of the most familiar stories in our Bible, the story of the Last Supper, the story of communion. But it doesn't just tie in because of its familiarity. No, it ties into our series because if ever God did something new, God did something new in communion. God did something very new in communion. Our passage today is from Matthew 26, verses 20 through 30. And it says this: When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the story of communion from Matthew, as familiar as any other story to us, but perhaps as scandalous as ever possible. Now, we'll come back to that bit in a minute, but first, let's just focus on the practice a little bit, shall we? So, since the beginning of the church, communion has taken central focus, or a central focus, in the practice of believers. Believe it or not, Baptist friends, the sermon was not always the most important thing in people's eyes, and most it's still not around the world. There's something incredible about this practice that Jesus began at the Passover celebration that has just stuck with us. It stayed with us. Many incredible things, actually. First, communion is this mysterious gift that sustains us like nothing else. The words that you've heard over and over in your lifetime, "This is my body, this is my blood." Now, in the Aramaic language, which Jesus most likely would have spoken on a daily basis, there was no word for a physical body. There was no word for just a body detached from soul or detached from these things that we have different terms for. It's very possible that when Jesus said this term, he meant, "This is myself. I give you myself in this practice. And as we continue to take it, I am present with you at this meal as you take it." Communion reminds us of Christ's presence and reinvigorates us with Christ's strength. Communion is also a symbol of his sacrifice for our salvation. So at that dinner, Jesus acknowledges that he's been betrayed. But he also says that he knows it's coming. And he says this remarkable thing in verse 24, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. It's important to note that God is not surprised by what's to come. In fact, Jesus embraces it. But it's also made clear that God is not the cause of it. No, humanity's betrayal is the instigator. Our sin is the starting point of this act. And so Christ makes it clear that this meal is a reminder of his sacrifice for our salvation, his willingness to embrace the consequences of our sinfulness, to defeat its greatest punishment and death, and to offer the opportunity of eternal life. Communion reminds us of the eternal rewards that are reaped by Christ's sacrifice. But if communion were only concerned with the later and not the now, it would be a detraction from the ministry of Jesus on earth. Yes, Jesus had eyes for the kingdom of heaven that was yet to come, but he regularly pressed his followers to work to bringing it to pass even now. Communion defined clearly the way that the followers of Christ were to exist in the world. It made clear that the way was like that of the sacrifice of Jesus. Which brings us back to the scandalous details of this story. And that is the inclusion of Judas. When you read this story, do you ever pay attention to it? Yes, that Judas is at this table with our Lord. There is perhaps no better person to focus on as we embrace a new year and the opportunity for a new beginning in Christ than Judas. In fact, every one of our Gospels, every one of them, all four, unite in telling of Judas's betrayal with the Last Supper. And Matthew's is no exception. He talks of Judas's role at the communion table. And it's vital to our understanding of what Jesus intended for communion to represent. For Jesus, he says that communion reminds us of the kind of life that he lived. Communion reminds us of the kind of life that Jesus lived, where love was given to friends and enemies alike. Look at the details again. Jesus knows the betrayal is coming, that one of his friends is about to sell him out. And he challenges the disciples, and Judas tries to defend himself, but Jesus calls him out. He knows that this man is about to betray him, which is remarkable because Jesus still invites him to share his last meal. He still invites him to the table to share that meal. And even after he calls him out, he continues to invite him into the celebration. In fact, it's only after this reveal that he speaks the words of communion, letting them know that everything he has done is for all of them. For all of them. And that he is giving all of himself for all of them. Communion reminds us that Christ gave love to friends and to enemies, and to enemies disguised as friends alike. It's a powerful message conveyed by this practice that we're all called to be part of. And it always makes me think, why did Judas betray Jesus? What was working in his life to bring this about? And, you know, it couldn't have just been the money, because the Bible tells us that Judas was already actively skimming money off the top of their ministry purse. So that couldn't be it. 30 pieces of silver was nothing in the grand scheme of things. It might have been out of bitterness. It might have been out of bitterness. He thought that he was joining alongside the guy who was going to topple Rome, the guy who was going to put the Jewish people back in their prominent place, and not once did they discuss war strategy. Something was wrong. But what seems to be the most likely reason is that Judas and Jesus just didn't see eye to eye. Judas knew, he knew what the Messiah was supposed to do. He knew that he would topple enemies and reestablish the kingdom of Israel finally, and the Messiah would lead the people in that way. But the more Jesus talked, he realized that this plan led to a cross instead of a sword. His plan led not to toppling Rome, but instead to dying at their hand. In other words, Jesus wasn't the Messiah that Judas wanted him to be. So he broke. He refused to accept Jesus as Jesus was. He believed that he could shape the Savior to his desires. He believed that he knew better than God. And he paid a price for it. Communion reminds us of the type of Savior that Christ is. One who offers love to friends and enemies alike. And it challenges us to fall in line. It challenges us to come to terms with this vital idea. Do we really believe that the way of Christ can change the world? Do you really believe that the way of Jesus can change the world? Or do you believe like Judas, that you can simply claim him as your own and eventually he'll just justify the way that you're already living? Or he'll justify what you already believe? Do you really believe that the way of Jesus can change the world? Because if you do, if we do, there's one more incredible truth that comes through this practice of communion. And that is that communion unifies us as a community of believers. It unites us as a community of believers. It connects us all in the way of Christ, in shared life, in shared purpose, and in shared burden. See, in ancient culture, this practice of eating together and taking a meal together was a sacred bond. The table was sacred space. Hospitality and shared life side by side, it connected you to one another. And so in communion and in Christ, God is doing something new and remarkable. God is connecting us to each other and us as a community to Christ. When we take this meal, we are tied together with each other and tied together with Jesus for his purposes. We confess that we truly believe the way of Jesus can change the world and that God's way of making this reality is through a unified body of believers, through church. Church in its purest form is defined by living in the way of Christ, a community living in the way of Christ. The church is not a social obligation. It's not something we do to look good. The church is not a family heirloom. The church is not just a convenient place to meet friends or to see familiar faces. It's not just 3 hours a week for someone else to take your kids. It's not just a place for coffee or meals or an exercise class. Now, it can be all of those things and many others, some of them worthwhile in their own right. But that is not what the church is. No, the church is the very arm of God in the world. The church is the primary tool by which God tangibly works to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It's people unified in the belief that the way of Jesus can truly change the world. Which means that it's concerned with more than just making good Tennessee boys and girls, and it's more than just being good Fountain City residents. It's a place where people learn a love like Christ's. A love that will love friends and enemies dressed as friends alike. So as we stare down a new year and a new visioning process and a new pastor call and a new opportunity to fully embrace the work of following the mission of Jesus, I point you again to the challenge of Judas. Are you simply looking to be seen as a follower of Christ for the benefits that come with it? Are you simply looking to be seen as a follower of Christ out of obligation? Are you still looking for ways to mold the words of the Savior to justify your preferred ways of living? Or are you willing to take Jesus as he is? Can you embrace the call of a Savior who laid down his life for everyone? Do you truly believe that the way of Jesus can change the world? And if so, I invite you to join alongside of all of these, your fellow believers and family in Christ. Join them in coming forward, proclaiming your faith, and taking again the symbol of Christ's sacrifice and presence. Communion. The table is open to all who would confess him. At this time, Bob and I are going to take our place at these tables, and we're going to invite you to come down. If that's going to be a challenge for you, we do have deacons in place who will bring communion to you. If mobility is a little bit more challenging, just stay put and raise your hand for them to come to you, and we'll bring communion to you. Otherwise, we ask you to come down here to the table. We'll be holding the cup for you. This is the variety called intinction, where you'll grab a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and then eat it from there. If you'll come down the middle rows and head back the outside rows, we should be okay. We're going to take our time, okay? This is not going to be a quick process. It's not going to be something that happens maybe even as pretty as it has in our brains, but it's going to be great. You'll have time to spend time with the people around you, to share with them. And when you make your way to this table, I'm going to challenge you to say something before you take communion. And that is this: I believe in the way of Christ. A simple declaration for you as you prepare yourself for this new year: I believe in the way of Christ. At that time, you can take your bread and dip it and eat it and remember the sacrifice of Christ and the way that he has loved you and every single person around you. Would you pray with me as we prepare to take this together? God, my prayer for these people, for our people, for our church and our family, is that we would be people who boldly declare that we believe in the way of Jesus. We believe in the way of Christ. As we take the opportunity to remember his sacrifice given for all people, even those who would betray him and deny him, that we pray that that would shape our own lives, shape our own commitments and our own ways of living in this world. Would you prepare our hearts to take this gift again? In the name of Jesus, we pray.